I want you to call your attention to the book of Genesis, chapter 21, verses 1 through 8. The first book in the Bible, the book of Genesis, chapter 21, verses 1 through 8. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, and as God has commanded him. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born. And Sarah said, God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me. She also said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children, for I have borne him a son in his old age? So the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the same day that Isaac was weaned. I want to use verse 6 for my lesson text. And Sarah said, God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me. My subject for today is, have God made you laugh? Have God ever made you laugh? And I want to take from this subject, I want to make four points on laughter. Number one, I want to talk about the laughter of disbelief. Number two, the laughter of discovery. Number three, limits of laughter. And number four, who gets the final laugh? My brothers and sisters, we all know that God created all things. God created laughter. God himself laughs. Yes, he laughs. Psalm 2:4, God laughs. Psalm 37:13, God laughs. Psalm 59:89 and Proverbs 1:26 and 25 other scriptures tells us that God laughs. And that's not all that God does. God whistles. Zechariah 10:8 and Isaiah 5:26. The Christian life ought to be full of joy and rejoicing. I maintain that a sense of humor or humor has a significant place in our lives. And if we deny it, then that would be to your own disadvantage. Laughter is like singing. It massages the soul. It squeezes out of it the tension of bitterness, resentment, and self-pity. And it also helps us to live a healthy life. Laughter is good for you. You ought to laugh more often. Doctors sometimes advise their patients to laugh more. Loosen up. You take things too seriously. Just loosen up. My friend Cliff Russell, he laughs. If I call Cliff Russell's house and after we begin to talk, if Cliff doesn't laugh with the next three sentences, I'm gonna ask him, hey, what's wrong with you, boy? Solomon Sim let out a belly bust of laugh every Sunday. And Lord, don't forget my wife. Laughter is good for you. You ought to try it sometime. You see, there are a few things on this planet Earth that can match with the therapeutic value of laughter. An elder went up to the hospital one day to see a sister who had been ill. The doctor couldn't diagnose her because they didn't know what was wrong with her. The sister's gonna die. So the elder went into this room with her, sat beside her bed, and said, do you mind if I read you some scripture? She said, go ahead. He began to read some scripture to her. And he wasn't reading long when she interrupted him and said, where are you reading from? She said, I'm reading from Pislam Sid. Pislam Sid? Is there a book in the Bible called Pislam Sid? I've been reading the Bible all of my life, and I never heard a book called Pislam Sid. She said, give me that Bible. Found out he was reading from the Old Testament. I mean, she was reading from the Old Bible. She was reading from Psalms. And Psalm was abbreviated. P-S-L-M, Pislam. She was reading Psalm 104. But 104 was written in Roman numbers. And the Roman number for 104 is C-I-V, Sieves. Pislam Sieve. He pronounced it exactly the way he saw it. So open your Bibles up to Pislam Sieve. And when that sister found out what that brother was talking about, she started laughing. Boy, she laughed so hard. Every time she thought about the word Pislam Sieve, she just cracked up. She laughed uncontrollably. They had to come in and check on her. 2 days later, they released her from the hospital. And she lived a long life. Sarah said, God had made me to laugh. Now, this is not the only time that Sarah laughed. In Genesis 18 and 12, we see where God has stopped by Abraham's tent to reiterate his promise that he made to Abraham 24 years ago, that you and Sarah are going to have a son. Now God is saying to Abraham that you and Sarah are going to have a son at the same time next year. So Sarah was behind the curtain listening, overheard what God said to Abraham. So Sarah started laughing. And she laughed deep down in her soul. Her laugh was not audible. You couldn't hear it with the human ear. But God, with his supernatural ear, heard Sarah say it. I'm 89 years old, my husband 99, and I've been waiting all of this time to have a son. Have a son. Do I now have this pleasure? My body's worn out, my husband worn out. Do I have this pleasure? I think not. So God did not bother Sarah, but God asked Abraham, Why did Sarah laugh? Did I say something funny? Does she know who I am? I am El Shaddai. You may know me at Elohim and God or Yahweh, but this is El Shaddai speaking. I am the Almighty God. And I want to ask you a question, Abraham. Is there anything too hard for God? Is there anything too hard? No. Mark 10:27 said, Jesus said, with men, things are impossible, but not so with God. With God, all things are possible. Isaiah 55:11 said, when my word go from my mouth, it will not return to me void, but it will accomplish what I please, and it will prosper whatever I send it. John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. I want you to notice something. The laughter in chapter 18 is different from the laughter in chapter 21. The laughter in chapter 18 does not sound, not sound with happiness. So chapter 18 is our first point that I want to make. The laughter of disbelief. The laughter of disbelief. The laughter of the belief, disbelief, always been questioned concerning Matthew 27:22. What are we going to do with this Jesus, which is called Christ? The Jews tried to laugh it off. Pilate tried to wash it off. In the third chapter of the book of John, we see Nicodemus trying to wipe it out with the laughter of disbelief. Do you remember when Nicodemus went to Jesus by night in the third chapter of the book of John? Nicodemus tried to butter Jesus up. Said, Master, teacher, we know that you're a man come from God because no one can do these miracles like you did. And Jesus did not entertain that expression of endearment. He said, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, it sounds like I hear Nicodemus demonstrating the laughter of disbelief when he asked Jesus, are you saying, are you suggesting a man when he's old, can he re-enter into his mother's womb? I mean, women have difficulty trying to give birth to a 6-pounder, but I'm 250 pounds. Are you saying that I can re-enter into my mother's womb? And that's when Jesus told him about the water and the spirit. In Mark 5:20-43, we see Jairus came to Jesus. And he told Jesus, said, look, my daughter is sick near death. I need you to come and heal her. Jesus went, followed Jairus. On the way to Jairus' house, he was interrupted by a woman with an issue of blood. So Jesus had to minister to her. That's what made him stop. So when Jesus was telling this lady with the issue of blood, your faith has made you whole, a message came from Jairus' house and said, don't bother the teacher. Your daughter is dead. So Jesus told Jairus, said, look, I'm going to your house. He said, have no fear. Just believe. When Jesus went to Jairus' house, man, there was all those mourners were there, all of them mute. They was crying. Jesus said, where'd all this commotion? This girl is not dead. She's just sleeping. And they laughed at Jesus. They laugh with mockery, scorn. Like, for example, if you want to put it down to human terms, man, I don't know where you come from. This girl dead. Jesus had to put him out of the room. Jesus walked over to the dead girl body and said, touch her hand. Call her name. Touch her hand. She sat up. Jesus led this girl to her father and told them, give him something to eat. There's a lot of disbelievers out there. Solomon and I were talking about that this morning. A lot of disbelievers. There's a lot of believers in the Lord's church. They sit under God's word every day, every Sunday, listen to sermon after sermon, message after message, and they walk out of here just as lost as they did when they first came in here. They laughed at Jesus. So chapter 18 is the laughter of disbelief. Number two, chapter 21 is the laughter of discovery. Laughter of discovery. Now you see Sarah holding her baby. The baby, the promised son that God promised Abraham. Sarah is now 90 years old. Abraham is 100. God did exactly what he said he was going to do. Numbers 23:19 said, God is not a man that he should lie, nor he the son of man that he should repent. Has he said, would he not do? Has he spoken, would he not make good? In chapter 18, verse 10, God told Abraham, said, next time I come through here, next year about this time, you and Sarah will have a son. At 89, at 90, and 100, Sarah, the son of promise, is born. No wonder Sarah said, God have made me laugh. Because that was the laughter of discovery. So I want to ask you a question this morning. Have God ever made you laugh? When you were down to your last dime and didn't know where your next meal coming from, God provided for you. Did God made you laugh? When the landlord tells you that your building has been condemned, you're going to have to find another place. God finds you a place to live better than the one you just moved. And God makes you laugh. When the doctor gives you that threatening diagnosis that you have cancer, or breast cancer, or COVID-19, and that you're afraid that you may leave your family members, but God heals your body, and you back with us today. Have God made you laugh? You see, God made me laugh. He made me laugh. There's a new style of shoes on the market. And I love those shoes. I haven't bought a pair of shoes in I don't know how long. So I love these shoes. I went to the store to get a pair of those shoes, size 14, and will you believe 14 was sold out? I have never seen that before. I didn't know so many men wore 14 shoes in my life. I thought Keith Hicks, Brother Donald, and myself were only one wore 14. But anyway, I went to two stores to try to find those shoes. They were sold out. I was disappointed. Now, I went back home. Lo and behold, the phone rang. And it was my two friends right there, my two Christian friends. Now, they didn't know what's happening. They didn't know I needed some shoes. Bill said, Sister Glow, what size shoes Brother Morgan wear? Sister Glow said, 14, tell him I got three pair for him. That's right. There it is right here. I got them on. Right. That's right. God made me laugh. I woke up Saturday morning, and God made me laugh because he allowed me to see another year. That was my birthday Saturday, all right. And my wife cooked my favorite dinner, a big pot of chicken and dumpling. Have God made you laugh? Now let me ask you another question. Have you ever looked back over your life and thought about all the stupid things that you have done in your life, wonder why God put up with you. Now don't sit up here and act like you never done anything. Don't sit up here and act like you've been sitting in Jesus' lap all your life. You've done some things. Some of you, before you became Christian, you would probably just be getting in from Friday night. Now, I can't talk about anybody else. I can talk about myself. Because, now, during my BC years, Sister Glow was jumping rope and hopping scots when this came out. I came up here in 1965. Got a job at Ford Motor Company. And boy, they were working long hours, making long money. And those girls were after those factory workers. I met this young girl. Now, I tell you, this is before Sister Glow now. She was still a little girl. And this girl found out that I worked for Ford Motor Company. She said, I want you to buy me a mink stove. Now, I heard of a mink coat. I didn't know what a mink stove was. I thought a mink stove was a real cooking stove. You put the mink around it. I started questioning this young girl. I said, why you want a mink stove? You gonna, when you started frying some catfish, won't that grease pop on your mink? She said, no, I'm gonna have it on my shoulder. I said, you gonna put a big stove on your shoulder? Who gonna help you? Have y'all heard of synonym, homonyms? Well, this was homonym. Word that sound alike was spelled differently. I found out later it was a S-T-O-L-E, not a S-T-O-V-E. Fast forward till when we got married. Glory and I had our first powwow. Now we've been having little spats every now and then. But this is our first powwow. I thought the little girl was gonna leave me. See, the fight started right here in this parking lot. And it went all the way home. So when we got home, I'm thinking that I'm gonna just put on my pajamas and watch Law and Order like we've been doing. When I put on my pajama and I sat in my chair, and my wife, that little lady, came out of that room, jumped up on the table so she can be my height, and balled up a little fist. You want to fight, Mr. Preacher? I said, I never hit a woman in my life. I'm not about to start on you. I got up and said, oh, sit down, lady. I left her standing on the table with her fist ball up top. We laugh. We just laugh at things. Have you ever looked back and just laugh at the silly thing you did? I know you've done it. Don't sit there and act like you didn't. Don't. Now, we have done laughter of disbelief and laughter of discovery. Now we're going to talk about limits of laughter. Limit of laughter. Now, the limit of laughter happened, consists of two things. There's a time to when you start laughing, there's a time when you stop laughing. Ecclesiastes 3:4 says, a time for weep and a time to laughter. So I want to deal with a time to stop laughing. You see, first of all, there are times when there is something that's no laughing matter. Although laughing is therapeutic, but sometimes laughter is hazard to your health. You see, Sarah laughed. See, you don't laugh when you're challenged by the word of God. You got to stop laughing when you're challenged by the word of God. Sarah laughed. And God said, Sarah, why do you laugh? Sarah said, I didn't laugh. God said, yes, you did. Sarah was challenged by the word of God when God says, is there anything too hard for God? Now, here these two couple, here this Abraham and Sarah, 90 and 100. Now, I don't know about you females, what stops on you when you get older. I know it's about us men. When we get a certain age, some things stop working. Abraham was 100 years old. I know Abraham laughed. I know it because look at it. Look at the scripture. I know he laughed. Abraham holding this 7-pound boy. Hey, look what I did, y'all. I'm 100 years old, and I got me a baby. You young boys can't do that. Now, I don't know what God gave Abraham and Sarah to produce that son of promise. But whatever God gave them, he didn't take it back. Because Sarah lived to be 127 years old. And when she died, Abraham took on to another wife named Keturah. And she had 6 more boys. Now, before God changed Abraham's name from Abraham to Abram, from Abram to Abraham. Abram in Hebrew means exalted father. When he changed the name to Abraham, Abraham in Hebrew means father of many nations. Now here this man on his way to be the father of many nations. 8 boys, 6 by Keturah, 1 by his wife, which is the promised son. 1 by his handmaid, which Hagar, his son of flesh, 8 boys. But Abraham had to stop laughing too. Because if you look at chapter verse 9, you see where Ishmael began to mock Abraham, mock Isaac. Now, in the Hebrew, Isaac's name means they laughed. So Ishmael was Isaac and Isaac. He was laughing at Isaac. Look at that old ugly boy over there. You know, I don't see what all the excitement about. They didn't do me that way. I've been here 14 years. I don't see what they think about him. That's one thing you don't mess with a lady when her baby. They'll tell her baby's talking about her baby. So Sarah told Abraham, you got to get rid of him. You got to get rid of Hagar and Ishmael and his mother. So Abraham sent him away. Now, in the last one, we have he who have last, who have the last laugh. I don't have to answer that. I guess you know who that's going to be. Who have the final laugh? In Psalm 2:4. He who sit in heaven shall laugh, to the Lord shall hold them in derision. God laughs when kings set themselves up above against God. You saw that with Nebuchadnezzar, Pharaoh, and Manasseh. God laughs when rulers take counsel against God. God laughs when we think of ourselves more highly than we ought to. God laughs when we lean on our own understanding and not on the direction, his direction. Brothers and sisters, it's a dangerous thing when God laughs. So when God laughs, that's his judgment. When God laughs, that's his justice. When God laughs, there's no more mercy. When God laughs, there's no more second chances. When God laughs, the doors are shut. When God laughs, it's all over. God has made me to laugh. If you are here today and you have not been added to the body of Christ, I strongly urge that you do so today. By hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and baptism can get you into Christ. So if you need to come forward, do so right now as we stand and sing. Would you please come?